Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here talking about the wonderful treasure that has been gifted to us in God's Word. And so I pray that you will enjoy today's program, that it'll be beneficial to you. I'll let you know there are a few announcements that are coming up. Space Coast City Fest has officially released their schedule for activities. March 28th and 29th are going to be the main events, and there are some very high profile artists as well as some sports celebrities and things like that. There's going to be a surf camp for every level. There's going to be some professional surfers there that will be teaching out at Cocoa Beach, that are going to be teaching not only people how to begin to know how to surfing, but those who are looking to, you know, maybe make that a career. There's going to be youth activities. I think the surf camp is a week before. I think that's like on March the 21st. So anyway, I thought I would let you know about that. There are also some youth rallies that are coming up. There are some countywide prayer gatherings that are coming up. There are some altar worker trainings that are called Festival Friends. Those activities are coming up. And so go to www.spacecoastcityfest.com, I believe is the website, and you can find out more information on that. That there's over 160 churches that are involved and participating in that. That's a miracle in and of itself. Churches from all across the county, as well as, you know, there's independent churches, there's Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches, charismatic churches, just a whole plethora of different congregations that are coming together with one intent, and that is to see people put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So check those things out. We'll mention it from time to time. I believe that there is a youth rally that is coming up this week, but I don't have that date right in front of me right now. We'll see if we can't get that out. I believe it's on Friday night, but we'll try and get that out to you. It might be a Thursday. No, I think it's Friday night. So we'll get more information to you about that. As for Merritt Assembly of God, we are going to be having a Bible study tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in the sanctuary, and then also our youth will be meeting in our fellowship hall. And if that can be a blessing to you, then we encourage you to come and be a part of that. I tell parents this: I can't guarantee you that you're not going to hit some spiritual bumps in the road if you know, faithfully bring your kids to church. I can't guarantee that. I couldn't guarantee it for my own kids. I can't guarantee it for your kids. I can't guarantee you that, you know, creatures with free wills are not going to hit some bumps in the road. But I can say this: I can almost with 100% certainty guarantee serious problems with the journey if you don't train your children up in the way that they should go. If you do not teach them about Jesus, I can guarantee you there are going to be way more challenges that way. You know, life is hard. Life without Jesus is even harder. So get started early. Teach them. Let the church be an accessory. Don't relegate the church to try and do your responsibility. We are there as a supplement to your personal training. My son sent me a video. I believe it was my son. It might have been my daughter-in-law. And there was a picture, a little video clip of my grandson who was playing the guitar and he was singing a song. And, you know, somebody said, what song is that he's singing? And they told the title. Well, I happen to know the reason why my grandson likes that song so much is because that's my son's favorite song. And because of the bond there between father and son, and there's, you know, that equally tight bond there between, you know, the kids and their mother as well, the whole family serving Christ and in church, that because it was something that's precious to dad, it's precious to the child. And so I pray that you will have that foundation that you are building, and the church comes along and reaffirms everything that you have been teaching them. Now, if you're teaching them ungodliness and then the church comes and teaches them godliness, we pray that we will be successful. But I'm telling you, kids give a whole lot more attention to what they see at home. And then when it's accessorized, it becomes very much more real to them. So I pray that you don't just send your kids to church. I pray that you take them to church and you train them up in the ways of the Lord. So we've been talking about delivering us from evil for quite some time. We spent a lot of time talking about that the Ten Commandments were actually given, and they were supposed to be, they were delivered to Moses to deliver them to the people with the intent that the instruction that they were to receive would deliver them from making a lot of spiritual mistakes. It would deliver them from the heartache of evil. You and I need to realize that the devil is not out to make our life better. He is out to make our life extinct. He wants us miserable. He wants us in captivity. And so he's constantly trying to oppress. So we're going to go back and look at some more. I don't know exactly how long we're going to be doing this, but I want to talk to you some more about some of the traditional aspects of deliverance. And we're going to start in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. You can also find this in 2 Samuel 22, but I'm gonna go from the Psalm 18 passage, and I want to read to you the introduction of what this psalm says. It says, to the chief musician. Now this part here is not God breathed. This is just informative. It's just a little header, a little introduction. It says this: a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Okay? And so on the day that he was delivered and there was not an enemy to be found, wouldn't that be awesome to find yourself in a position where every enemy that has been hostile towards you is suddenly a thing of the past, and you get to live a day that is free from spiritual hostility? That will be marvelous. And it says, and he said, and so then we go into verse number one, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so David begins as he's celebrating this deliverance. He doesn't focus on how great he is. He focuses on the goodness and the greatness of God and what his response to God and his deliverance is going to be. He says, I'm going to love you because you, O Lord, are my strength. Apart from God, we can do nothing. But when we find ourselves bound to God, we find ourselves in a position of great strength. I don't know if you have ever found yourself with something that did not have a whole lot of substance to it. It was pretty pliable. I'm primarily thinking of a piece of electrical wire that the way that they got the gauging of that particular wire was they took a whole lot of little strands and they wound them and intertwined them together. And then they took those strands and they wound them and intertwined them together with more until it got to be the size of wiring that could conduct the level of power that was necessary. But there's another type of wire, and that is a copper wire where it is a solid pore. It is something that when they were making it, they heated it, they poured it into this little channel, and instead of it being a composite of a bunch of little weak and insignificant things that are bound together, this particular gauge of wiring gets its strength because it is all one piece. It's got much more capabilities and it's got more substance to it than what the other wires. Well, every once in a while, if you notice in a lamp fixture, or let's just say a lamp fixture, the main wiring that goes to the outlet box is that solid wire. It is the wire with strength. And then whenever they're making these lamp fixtures, quite honestly, they're looking to make them for the least amount of money as they can. So they use wiring that is a little less expensive, and you get to the point where the wire that is intertwined has got to make connection with that wire that has substance to it. And so when you put those two things together and the wire nut goes on there, it takes the wire that does not have a lot of strength and it wraps it around, it binds it to that wire that does have substance. A lot of people look at marriage as simply a husband and a wife coming together and the two becoming one, but in actuality, marriage is meant to be a threefold cord where it's husband and wife, and both of them are intertwined in their relationship with God, and God forms the strength, the backbone of that relationship. David said, I don't just need that strength in my marriage, I need that strength in every area of my life. He needed it when he was at home. He needed it when he was in the fields and he was protecting the sheep and the little lambs, and enemies, bears and lions would come and say, "Ooh, look, a buffet." And David would have to go and strength and the strength of the Lord and defeat those lions and bears. He discovered that he needed strength whenever he went against Philistines. You see, David was not all that formidable in size. He just had a great, big, wonderful God. He needed it with his family dynamic, where his father didn't even think enough about him to invite him to his own coronation. He needed him when he faced Goliath. He needed God to be his strength when he was facing the Philistines in battle. You see, Saul originally intended to send David out into impossible situations that there's no way that David could survive the battle, except for God gave him the victory. Saul was originally planning for the Philistines to be the end of David. That way he wouldn't be guilty of that. David found out that he needed God as his strength when his own father-in-law, the king, was trying to kill him. And so he says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Today, I believe that it's very important that we remember that expressing our love to God is not just something that we do on Sunday. It's something that we can employ our will to accomplish or to do on a regular basis. I will love you. Okay? A lot of people say, well, I just can't do that. There's a big difference between can't and won't. And David was not going to deprive the God who had delivered him from the love, the affection, the loyalty, the praise, and the worship that God was due. He said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He was not only the place that David, you see, David would go to the desolate places. He would go to the mountainous places. He knew how to navigate in the rocky regions where other people didn't necessarily know how to navigate. And so he would go, and when he would go places his enemy couldn't go. So my wife and I were having a conversation recently, and she was talking about, you know, what do you think about hinds feet on high places? And I described how there are pictures of goats, mountain goats, that end up taking their journey, and somehow they manage to get on these little bitty ledges on very steep cliff faces. And, you know, one's up here and one's down here and one's over on the other side. And, you know, there's only a couple of reasons why one would find themselves there. One is if there was a source of food there, and they said, you know what, I think I can get over there and I think I can get me a snack. But, you know, that's not very likely when you're talking about things growing in a productive manner on a cliffside, you know, a very rocky situation. The second reason that comes to mind is that they were going to a place that an enemy could not go. And that's very exciting. You see, David learned to navigate with the Lord answering him. David said, hey, are these people going to turn me over to Saul even after I came and saved them? He said, yep, they sure are. And David said, well, I think it's time to leave. And, you know, there were times when David would be on one side of the mountain and Saul's army would be on the other side of the mountain. There were other times where they ended up being in the same spot, but David's troops were hidden to the point that Saul and his men did not know where it was. And there were even times where Saul was delivered into David's hand, and David's men were encouraging him to kill Saul. He said, look, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. And David would say, but you don't understand. That person is the Lord's anointed for right now. I'm not going to lay my hand. And, you know, one time he cut the hem of his robe, and he was extremely overcome with remorse. But David was not going to, you know, avail himself of the opportunity to take Saul's life, even though Saul was desperately trying to kill him. Saul had priests of the Lord that were executed because he thought that they had sided with David. And David just comes and says, God, you're my rock. You caused me to travel places of safety where my enemy can't get to. You are my fortress, and you are my deliverer. You are my God. My God. And a lot of people in today's society, they make a big big statement. It's a very popular thing that people say. They will end up saying OMG or oh my God or oh my. And I like to stay away from that expression. So let me just tell you how I respond internally whenever someone says that. In this day and time where everybody thinks that a God is God, that their God is the same as everybody else's God, and they don't realize that there is this tremendous difference between God, the God of gods, you know, the Lord God, Jehovah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They don't recognize that there are other people, and even though they use the same verbiage, they're referring to different gods. And I will tell you this, all gods are not equal. I'll even go one step further, and I'll say this, all gods are not created equal, because there's one God who was not created. He has been, always will be, and is currently right now, God all by himself. Okay? And so the first question that I ask is, you know, which God are you talking about? Who is your God? Israel was very confused spiritually because they confused Baal worship with the worship of Yahweh God. It was worship on God's standard, and then the other was worship in the manner of convenience. Baal worship was a lot more popular because it was a lot less costly. You know, you could worship Baal and be sexually immoral. You could worship Baal and, go ahead and live your life the way that you wanted to. You could worship Baal and you could fit in with all of the nations around you. But when you worshiped the Lord God, Jehovah, you know, Yahweh, there is one God and there is no other. When you worshiped him, all of a sudden it was exclusionary of all of those other situations. And David says, you're my God. You are my strength. We talked about that already. And he says this, in whom I will trust. In whom I will trust. Trust is very important. It's what we have written on our money. In God we trust. But it needs to be more than just a statement. It needs to be a reality. I don't know if you've ever had someone that used their mouth to tell you the words that you wanted to hear. Many times Christians, we want to believe the very best. We don't want to believe that people will lie to us. And so we give them the benefit of the doubt. But I know this. I can trust God. God's not going to lie to me. Well, you say, how do you know? I said, because the word says he's not going to lie. God is faithful to himself. He's never going to change. His standard is He's never going to change the standard. Even when he entered into a new covenant, it wasn't a lowering of the standard. It was a raising of the standard. You know, many people are confused, about the New Testament, the new covenant that we have with Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. He's looking for us to be all in all the time. Okay, and so it's not just celebrate a festival here or a festival there. He's looking for us to realize, look, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're not just looking for forgiveness one day a year. We're looking to be empowered by the grace of God to live a righteous and holy life every day. I can trust God. David had proven over and over again. When he faced Goliath, he said, look, I've already been to battle. God's already delivered me a number of times, and he's going to deliver me again. I trust him. I don't trust Saul's armor. I trust the tools that God has given to me, and I trust God. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. So I had a conversation with a person one time, a person that's, you know, been very instrumental, very influential in district ministry, pastors a great church, and probably get along with him now better than I ever have. And he said this. He said, I'm an introvert. And I said, what? You're an introvert? You know, and people have that reaction about me. I said, well, you know, I understand it. And as I was in this meeting, there were a lot of pastors that said, me too. And he made this statement. He said, I know where I go to find a place for me where I can be refreshed. And for a lot of people, that's going out and being socially engaged. For him, he said, I go to Jesus. I shut myself in with Jesus and the Word, and God strengthens me. He equips me. He's my stronghold. He's my fortress. He's the place that I run to every chance that I get. And I pray that as you realize that God is your stronghold, I want you to understand he's not stationary. He is a God that is on the move. And you could be at work today under relentless attack. And today I want you to know that God is right there at work with you. And he can be your stronghold. You may be facing an attack financially. And I want you to know that God can be there with you, is there with you. And he wants to be your financial stronghold as well. Today, as you are asking God to deliver you from evil, realize that you're not just asking for the cavalry to come in and swoop down and rescue you in the nick of time and then ride off into the sunset. The reality is when we ask God to deliver us, we say, deliver us from this death style that we've been living and bring us to that place where we get to enjoy the fellowship and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that God always wanted us to have, not with him at the tangent of our life, but at the very core of our life. He wants to be the place that we run to for trust and for strength. He wants to be our stronghold. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Stand before your throne, dressed in glory not my own. What a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key,
everything as it was meant to be. And we will worship.